You're listening to the Just Means Less ACC podcast with your hosts, Micah and Nick. Nick, how are we doing this Monday night?
Pretty good, man. I'm very proud of myself because I got a new max on back squat. So that felt really, really good. Yeah, 315. I was really happy with myself. I probably could have done more, but I ran out of time and we had to switch sets. So.
Nick, I knew it was pumpkin season, but I didn't realize your pumpkins were getting bigger too.
Yeah. You liked that picture, right? You like you.
Whoa! Pause. Everybody listening, because Nick's not giving you context. It's not what my joke was about. It's about the pumpkins products that are being served at Dioli's. Nick, I know what you were saying, but just. FYI, the way you just rolled into that, that sounded like pictures of something else. Just making sure that we clarify that ASAP.
I hate how you did that because I was kind of rolling along with it.
I know, and I'm paused. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm not like that. I'm just not.
anyway, so yeah. It's pumpkin season at Dioli's, everyone. Micah loved the picture I posted on on the Dioli's Instagram of the pumpkin desserts that we have going on. But I am a little upset, and I know we're in college football season. But Micah, as you know, it is the baseball playoffs, and I got home a little late from the gym, so I didn't catch the start of the Braves Phillies game. But my brother did, and as he's watching the pregame show. This is just me ranting right now. Alex Rodriguez kind of shat on the Giants, and for good reason. I'm not a big A-Rod fan. I think he's got some skeletons in his closet. I won't go any further than that. But apparently it has come out that the Giants in 2019 – told Bruce Bochy, who is now the manager of the Texas Rangers, who have a commanding 2-0 lead against your Orioles. I'm sorry about that. But
yeah, rub it in. Thanks.
Told Bruce Bochy to go away, essentially.
He did not retire. You guys just – hold on. Pause. You also just, like, fired Gabe Kepler, who I know has struggled, but, I mean, has been – a top half manager in baseball, top 20 at the bare minimum. Like, of all people to get fired this year, Nick, Gabe Kepler was not on my bingo card.
He, as Giants fans, he kind of was. Giants fans, including myself, did not like how there was, it was a constant revolving door of sending guys up, sending guys down.
Because you aren't good. Like, this isn't a baseball podcast, but well, Nick, your team is the least, not least. Actually, I am going to say, you're the least talented team in the NL. Well, no, the Rockies exist. Second least NL, most talented team in the NOS. And it's not even close. Your team's not good. Your roster does not stack up to San Diego or LA or Arizona.
I agree. He also...
Then what's wrong? You missed the playoffs by 3 games. If you agree, then you just basically admitted that you shouldn't have made the playoffs. So then he did exactly what he should have done with the team that he had.
We should have made the playoffs.
No,
we,
you shouldn't
we
have.
We had it locked.
Nick, if you are the fourth best team in your division, you physically cannot make the playoffs. That has never happened in the history of baseball. Why would it happen now?
Because
you overperformed the San Diego Padres.
We underperformed. No, we led the Padres.
That's what I said. You overperformed the San Diego Padres, a team who I, by the way, just listed to you is better than your team on roster.
Well, there was more to it.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there is. But
there,
like,
was not there. I think the chemistry between him and the players wasn't really there as much, and he is way too analytical. He would pull guys when he shouldn't have. He played way too much of the matchups. And
didn't that work for you last year though?
No. So in 2021, it did work for us because so then, he was able, he had a good plan, and I will admit it was a very good plan. He was able to get our aging stars to perform at their highest abilities. He got Posey to play almost back to his MVP caliber year in 2012. He got Brandon Crawford on fire to the point where he got a 2-year contract extension. And if Brandon Belt didn't get hurt towards the end of the season, he would have 30 homers, which, by the way, we haven't done since Barry Bonds. If that tells you anything. So I will admit, the 2021 year was a great start. But then everyone was gone. Posey retired. We put Belt up in Toronto. And Brandon Crawford, 90% chance that he's done after, you know, this whole postseason's over with. So there was some chemistry that wasn't there. He played too much of the analytics game. And basically what my rant is, the Giants are a first-class organization in baseball. There's no getting around it. And we have treated veterans, like vets on our team, very well, guys who retired very well. We're just first-class all around. And we, for an organization that let their aging stars continue on, like, hey, there could still be something here, whatever, it shocked me that Bochy really didn't retire. Our organization pushed him out the door, which a guy that won 3 World Series championships in 5 years should have complete control and say on what he wants to do if he wants to stay. Like, he
Nick,
should.
Nick,
by
Nick,
no
I'm,
means
Nick, I'm
did
gonna,
Bochy,
I'm...
by no means did Bochy, like, tank our team. We had maybe 1, maybe 2 bad years because we were transitioning through some guys that left. But
no, he didn't tank your team. But guess what the new manager did? Took that exact team and almost took it to the freaking World Series and won the whole damn thing. Nick,
well,
you just
we
openly
have been on a downhill spiral since that.
Yeah,
like
you
we
just
finished
opened...
500. Like, we've been locked in playoff spots up until the All-Star break or August, and then we completely shit ourselves.
Hey, Nick,
we finished
Nick,
500
let me,
last
let me,
year.
Let me ask
the
you
low
a question,
500
Nick.
This...
Nick, let me ask you a question. You are again. We'll wrap this up quickly because it's not a baseball podcast.
Yeah.
But a minute ago, you said, end quote, everybody left it as a 21 team, right? Like, all those guys were done after 21. So then what? No offense, man. As someone that worked for a Giants affiliate in 2018, I saw how shitty your farm system was because you sold the farm to contend for those World Series that Bochy won you. What did you think was going to happen? I'm not a big Gabe Kepler fan. I agree with you. There were probably some things behind the scenes that justified this. But, like, what are you getting rid of a manager for that made – like, your team overperformed, Nick. Your team's not good. Like – your team is worse than the Baltimore Orioles, who, in my opinion, is very overrated. Like, as an Orioles fan, like, we are obviously up and coming, but we've played way above our britches this year. Like, again, you are inarguably the best division in baseball. And you were right there for a playoff spot. And you outperformed a team that was definitely better than you. So I'm like, I get it, but
there are also, and I agree with you because I talked to this about my brother and some of my friends that are Giants fans too, that it was more than Kepler. And like this, I mean, what I'm bringing up has nothing to do with Kepler. I'm just mad that the organization itself didn't treat Bruce Bochy right.
You're right. No, you're right.
And so, like, I'm mad at our GM. Like, I'm very mad. And if we don't have, like, a good offseason this year, I would want him gone too. It was much more than Kepler. I agree. But, yeah, it was more of, I can't believe that this organization did that to Bruce Bochy.
No, and I will defend it to a point because it almost won you another World Series. And I mean this, like, I this is not a slander at Bruce Bochy. Bruce Bochy is not the type of guy that's just going to go out there and pull magic out of his ass. If he has talented guys in his clubhouse, he can make shit happen. Like, Nick, if he's the manager of the San Francisco Giants this season, you probably are as bad as good or worse than the team that you saw this season. Like, think about the Texas Rangers are arguably the second or third most talented team in baseball from top to bottom. Because they have, like, they are what I hope the Orioles are in a year or two. Because the Orioles need some veteran pitching, which obviously the Rangers went out and got. But then they have the core pieces of, like, a Jonah Heim, behind the plate. You've got key pieces all throughout the infield. You grab guys that have some stuff still left in the tank, like a Mitch Garver. Like, you go out there and you get pieces like that that can win you ball games. Like, again, I digress. Like, I will be bummed if the Orioles get swept. Like, Nick, I think maybe I never talked to you about it, but, like, I had no expectations of the Orioles getting, honestly, even to the ALCS, even when we won the division. Because, like, I know how bad this pitching is, and I also know, like, I mean, Kyle Bradish, no playoff starts. Grayson Rodriguez, no playoff starts. John Means got scratched, but also no playoff starts. Like, this is an Orioles team that has never played on a stage like this before. And, like, yeah, they won the AL East, but honestly, the Tampa Bay Rays don't lose Wander Franco and get hurt half the season, they don't win the division. They're probably still a playoff team, but they don't sure as hell don't win the division.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is, but that's baseball talk. Around the diamond episode. No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, Nick, I agree. I mean, I just want the Orioles to at least play one more night besides tomorrow, because I won't even be able to watch tomorrow night, because I'm going to the best college football environment in the state of North Carolina tomorrow night, Nick.
Oh, man, I almost went, dude.
Nick, you want to go? I got a free ticket for you. Deadass, I have a free ticket for you if you want to go.
I can't. I can't.
Why?
I have things to do, but I.
Well, we were going to record our podcast tomorrow.
What?
So what do you have to do? What if we're supposed to record the podcast tomorrow? What do you have to do? What is more important? What do you got to do?
The gym.
Dude, cancel the gym. You're going to work out. You'll get a workout walking up and down the stadium stairs. It's fine. It's fine. You know, don't hang out with me, Hayden, Mike from CFB Campus Tour, you know. Leave all the cool kids out. That's fine. You do you, man. Miss out on all these cool people. Whatever.
I'll let you know because you're tempting me.
I mean, you can't tell me you don't want to see Tim Beck one more time. You know, relive the glory days. Tim Beck in the state of North Carolina. I mean.
Yeah, true. I that is something I miss.
So, but anyways, I digress. Nick, did you see the thing the cryptic tweet that came on social media by Kane's Warning earlier today? So Kane's Warning. Fifth.
They tweeted,
sad news, okay. And a bunch of my fans said unfollow, but then somebody quoted it, and I think it was a North Carolina fan that was making a Tyler Van Dyke out for season thing. But I just thought that was very intriguing to see. So anyways, but something I thought interesting was the athletic director at Miami was at the press conference today of Mario Cristobal, which doesn't normally happen. Not saying that he's getting fired. That's not what I'm going at. But, like, I wonder if he was there to genuinely see what Mario says. Like, even though, I mean, social media exists, but whatever. I mean, that thing was just a mess. But anyways.
Interesting.
Let's get into it. So, we've got a... This is what we call minus really Miami UNC spooky Saturday, because someone's going to lose that shouldn't. Is that going to be Duke? Is that going to be Pitt? Is that, oh, plot twist, Nick. Wake opened as a 1-point favorite. Virginia Tech is currently the 1-point favorite now.
Wow.
So interesting. Okay. Well, all these spreads minus one are within a touchdown and a half, aka 7.5. And the only one that is the first game we're going to talk about, which is Syracuse and Florida State. This is a game, Nick, to where I think Florida State, if they're smart, will copy and paste exactly what they did against Virginia Tech. Hand the ball off. Let the team run. Obviously, have Jordan Travis throw the ball a little bit. But I mean this in all respect to Garrett Schrader and Syracuse, but that offense right now looks pretty bad. Like, they are not in sync, and I think maybe overperformed their britches a little bit in the early part of the season. I don't think Syracuse scores more than 14. So this just feels like if I'm Florida State, like run the ball, you know, probably have one or two passing touchdowns in the red zone to a Keenan, like a Coleman or something like that. But, you know, just kind of let Travis be a game manager and let the fronts on both sides of the ball cook, because Syracuse is not going to be able to hang with them on that side, like up front. So, I mean, we can deep dive this all we want, but I genuinely believe that Florida State is going to win this game. And just looking at the schedule, I mean, Florida State does have Duke next week, but that is at home. I don't think it's necessarily a look-ahead spot per se. So, I'm going to say Florida State covers, because I think that what North Carolina did to Syracuse, I don't think Florida State will do the exact same thing. But I think Florida State doesn't have to try as hard to get a similar result. Like a 34-14 sounds like the number that I'm looking for here for Florida State.
Yeah, I agree. I think Florida, I think you put it perfectly. Florida State should do what they did at Virginia Tech. At this point, Syracuse has kind of fallen to that Virginia Tech category of, now, obviously, they have a better record, and they have played better teams than Virginia Tech, arguably. But they have not looked good the past 2 weeks. I expected more of a fight from Syracuse against Carolina, and they just did not put it up. And like you said yesterday, the book is out on how to beat Syracuse. And North Carolina just exposed them. And if North Carolina can do it, then Florida State surely can as well. So this should be a fun one for Florida State. I don't think, again, like you said, it's not a look-ahead spot to Duke. I think they are more disciplined than that. If it were like maybe Miami, then I could see this being a look-ahead spot. But Florida State has really looked good since they came off the bye. They have dominated Virginia Tech. I expect them to do the same thing. Jordan Travis is getting healthier. You know, we were kind of worried that he was dealing with an ankle injury, especially during the Clemson game. But he has, you know, had the bye week, took a little easy against Virginia Tech. So I expect pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. And not to mention, too, like, this isn't a road game. This was going to Syracuse, I'd actually be a little concerned. But Doak Campbell is back to being arguably the best environment in the ACC right now.
Yeah, I agree.
So from that standpoint, I mean, it's going to be tough. Like, I've experienced Doak Campbell when it's full and Doak Campbell when it's not, and there's a light and night and day difference. Like, it's one of the more, like, major drop-offs in college football. And, I mean, when that's, like, when that place is rowdy and packed, oh, my gosh, dude, I don't know how anyone goes there and wins a game. So, yeah, this is going to be, like, Syracuse is still a bowl team. If I'm Syracuse, like, similar to what I said about Virginia Tech last week, like, you know, looking back on how they played that game, like, don't go, like, unless you're down three entering, like, the middle of the third quarter, don't even pull any shit out of the bag. Like, see if you can compete for a half playing your style of football. Nothing fancy, nothing over the top. And more than likely, you're not going to, like, again, I don't want to say that Virginia Tech did not try against Florida State, because that's not, like, I don't want to imply that. But Virginia Tech did not go out there going, all right, we're going to do everything in our power to win this football game. Like, they're like, we're going to try. If our game plan doesn't work, we're not going to go out here and, like, you know, pull out the bag of tricks. We're not going to try to find a spark off the bench. Like, it was, let's just go out and use this as a measuring stick game. Like, if I'm Syracuse, I think you need a measuring stick game, but just kind of a, all right, let's go out there. Let's not get hurt. Let's just try to, you know, maybe try to cover, but let's not go out here and just, you know, do everything. Like, don't pull out the trick play in the first quarter down 7-0 to try to tie the ball game, because, like, at the end of the day, you're not going to have enough of those to beat them. Right. So you might as well see if you can hang with them being yourself, and then if you're in a situation with the chance to win the game or, you know, make a play to where it's tied or something in the late in the game, fine. But I don't think they're going to be in that situation. So, I mean, this is – I'm glad the ABC made this the noon game, because I was a little concerned. that they were going to do something really stupid and, like, make this the night game because it was Florida State because Miami lost. Because we all know Miami-UNC, regardless, is still a way more impressive and intense game. But right. We move on. 3:30. And before we get into this game, Nick, I wanted to tell you this is the greatest week for me. You want to know why?
Why is that?
Because Virginia can't lose for a second straight week.
There you go.
So some say you win the bye week. Well, we can't lose the bye week at least, so go Hoos. but anyways, 3:30, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech. I mean, this from a grand scheme of things, this game means absolutely nothing. If you're just an outsider that likes college football, who cares? Nick, is there a chance that we see Brent Pry or Dave Clawson pulling a Frank Beamer here, celebrating a missed field goal going into overtime 0-0? Because the way these two offenses have kind of looked, this could potentially be that.
Do you know what the over-under is?
48.
Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. That's a lot for this game.
Like, the only reason why I understand the 48 is because there is a legitimate argument that, like, Virginia Tech's defense is obviously not what Clemson was, and that Wake Forest can find 20, 24. And, you know, Virginia Tech's offense the last couple weeks has looked much, much better than it did early in the year. So I understand that line, but I'm sure it's hell going under right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is – like, it's hard to do these previews, Nick, because we really don't – like, you look at the numbers. I mean, Mitch Griffiths is arguably the better quarterback in this game from a numbers standpoint. But down the stretch, like in the last couple weeks, I would take Drones over Griffiths. Defensively, I would take Wake over Virginia Tech, though. I'm going to be honest, Nick. Like, the reason why I'm picking Virginia Tech and the reason why -1 makes sense is because I think there's an argument that Wake Forest is a point or two better than Virginia Tech. But a sold-out homecoming game in Blacksburg for Maroon Effect, that gives me plus 4 points favoring Wake Forest. Favoring Virginia Tech. So, I mean, this is – like, Nick, I know you don't have Saturday off, but – if you could somehow get to this game, I would recommend it so much, man. Like, this is going to be legit. Have Taylor put you on the guest list. Sit in the Wake Forest section. I mean, this is going to be – like, I am so bummed that this is the exact time as the ETSU game that I have to work. Because I will not be able to watch – like, there might be a point, Nick, in the fourth quarter if our game's not good, that I'm just on my phone in the press box zoning out watching the end of this game. Like, this game – is by far the game I am most excited about, because I mean, this kind of dictates who's, like, I'm going to be honest. If Wake Forest loses this game, Nick, I think bowl game, not out the window, but it damn sure isn't the odds on favorite anymore. And same thing goes for Virginia Tech. If they lose this game, I mean, that puts Virginia Tech, you know what, at, I think if I'm not mistaken, yeah, it puts them at 2-5. I mean, I think there's at least two more losses on their schedule. So this is more of a must win for Virginia Tech than it is Wake from that standpoint. Because obviously Wake's obviously only have two losses so far. But, oh my goodness, man, this is for the sake of Diolis and the town of Winston-Salem, I really hope, like, this is – like, Mitch can kind of – and not even just Mitch. This offensive line can just kind of turn it around and get things going. Because – we talked about it, I don't know if you remember, Nick, when we previewed Virginia Tech Marshall, my biggest call to arms for Virginia Tech was their inability to slow down the run. And if Wake can get Claiborne going, the pass game's going to open up for Griffiths. So that's going to be really the key. Can Wake Forest get Claiborne and Carney and those guys rolling? Because if they can, then they honestly might go in this game and win it by two scores and never really be in concern. But the way this offensive line has been and the way this offense has struggled the last couple outings, I don't know if they can do it. And I don't think Drones in this Virginia Tech offense is playing better than Clemson is, obviously. But I don't think, like, this Virginia Tech offense has looked very competent. And at the end of the day, like, if they're competent and Wake is not in Blacksburg, like, I think I'm just going to go ahead and say it right now. I'm going 17-14 Virginia Tech, and they win on a walk-off field goal. Like, this game's going to come down to the end. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. But, I mean, this is a game that doesn't decide the Dave Clawson tenure, because then it gets over for him. But if Wake wins this game, Nick, this is the definition of what Dave Clawson and Wake Forest is. Even at their lowest of lows, when things feel really dark, they're still pretty good. Because, I mean, let's just be honest, Nick. Do we think that Georgia Tech is better than Virginia Tech right now? I could see the argument for sure. Because the Georgia Tech team that came to Winston-Salem was kind of peak Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
So there's a argument that, like, well, yeah, Wake Forest has lost two straight frustrating games, but they were right there with Clemson. I mean, they were pretty much right there with Georgia Tech. You know, again, should they be proud of that? No. But, again, like, Virginia Tech, like, they got pounded by Florida State. Sure, they pounded Pitt, but, like, so what? Like, right now, Nick, I mean, I get to see firsthand how bad Wofford is this weekend, Nick, because that's who we play at ETSU. I can tell you that Wofford is 0-6 with losses to VMI, which, Nick, you remember VMI? Remember how that game went for NC State?
Yeah.
Yeah. VMI beat Wofford. So, you know, it is not like Virginia Tech has truly shown this amazing turnaround, because, sure, they hammered Pitt, but, like, again, like we talked about, it actually is making me mad, Nick, the amount of power rankings that I still see with Virginia below Pitt. Because I'm just like, have you looked at these teams' schedules? Have you looked at these teams' results? Like, Virginia has less blowout losses than they do. And their blowout losses, again, were giving up 28 unanswered in the fourth quarter against Maryland, who, by the way, only has one loss. Or losing a heartbreaker to undefeated James Madison. You know, so it's just like, ugh. But, I mean, this game is – this is sicko ACC all over it, but this is going to be such a fun game.
It really is. And that's why I'm kind of going Wake on this one, because I can't really – we've been saying all year, and I feel like we've been repeating ourselves and sound like a broken record, but we keep saying how we can't see a Dave Clawson coach team not go bowling. I can't see a Dave Clawson team going starting off 0-3 in the ACC. I can't do it. And we kind of thought, you know, maybe after the result of this game, they would at least be 2-1 in the ACC, right? Georgia Tech, Clemson, Virginia Tech. You would hope at best 2-1, maybe 3-0 after what we saw with Clemson in the beginning of the season, that Wake could break the streak. But I feel like Wake can wake up this week. I really do. I think they're a little desperate right now. They don't want to fall to 500. They don't want to be 0-3 in the ACC. It is a lighter opponent, but it is a tough environment, and I think it's going to be a lot tougher than what they faced off at Clemson. I mean, let's be real. I saw pictures of that stadium. Those fans were not sticking around at the Clemson game. They just weren't. Virginia Tech fans will stick around, and if this thing's anywhere near close, they will be very, very rowdy. But I think Wake has the better defense, like you said, and I think they have the best weapons on offense. Now, quarterback, I agree. Drones has looked very, very good and looked like he could be the future of this Virginia Tech program. But Mitch has weapons. And if they can use them correctly and if the O-line can step up, I could see Wake really having a spark on offense that they have lacked in the last couple of weeks. So give me the Deeks. they get the big win on the road at Virginia Tech, and they keep their bowling hopes. They're still alive, but they keep them very, very manageable that they can control their own destiny. They would be 4-2, sitting high, redeeming the loss against Clemson and Georgia Tech, and everything is in front of them. So this would be, though, a low blow for, like, what Dave has built so far, because 0-3 and two of those losses are to bad to mediocre ACC teams is not what we kind of expect from a Dave Clawson Wake Forest team.
No, and the trajectory of Wake Forest too, like, I mean, Nick, this is insane if you think about it, because geez, what the heck, the Braves have rallied to take.
Yeah, Austin Riley just hit a two-run homer. You there?
Not sure
what happened there. Maybe that
was the slander of the Florida State football fans ending our call. But you know what I was saying was, like, 5-2 Wake Forest in this scenario, if they beat Virginia Tech and then obviously take down Pitt the following week at homecoming, that creates a whole different vibe for that Florida State game, where even if, like, Wake Forest beats Pitt like they should at home for homecoming, 4-3 just doesn't feel the same, right?
Right.
But if you're riding in 5-2, bowl game on the line, top five team probably coming to town, like, that's nuts. I mean, again, Virginia Tech side, I mean, this would be their fifth loss of the season if they fail to win here. That, with Louisville on the road, probably puts you at 6 losses. With Boston College, a tough place that you haven't won. You know, NC State, Syracuse are not guaranteed wins. And though I don't think that, like, they should be super concerned about Virginia, I mean, I still believe that there is a world where Virginia wins that game at home. Right?
Right.
So, it's very bleak. Like, 2 losses is probably more likely than 1 loss in the remaining schedule. So, you really need to find a way to get this win here. For Virginia Tech. So, again, this is just from an ACC football standpoint, fan standpoint, I mean, this game means a lot. So, very, very excited for it. But let's move on. Louisville heads to Pitt. Pitt is a 7.5-point favorite. The over-under is 46. Nick, I thought you would be intrigued to know this spread opened at 10.5 for Pitt. It's been bet down to 7.5, and 80% of public money is currently betting Pitt to cover. So, a lot of people are not believing in Louisville, which I don't necessarily blame them. But one thing I will say, I know this is a potential letdown spot. Pitt's coming off of a bye. I understand that. But this is also the last game for Louisville till their bye week. And if there's one thing that I have learned about Jeff Brohm coach teams, Louisville is winning football games because of this coaching staff. I don't think this is I genuinely believe that Jeff Brohm is walking around the facility this week saying, do not fall asleep. Do not fall asleep. You can fall asleep next week. Next week, you can sleep in. We'll take Monday off. We'll take Tuesday off. I don't give a shit. Let's win this game. Because, like, in a bad scenario, they'd be playing the following week. But you win this game, you get to ride into your bye week undefeated. I am scared, Nick, because I really don't know what Pitt's going to look like, because we don't really know what to expect from Pitt, with obviously Dracovic no longer the starter. You know, they're obviously going to Christian Vallee or whatever, however you say his name. Again, it's a small sample size, but watching him play a half from field level against North Carolina, I don't think he's very good. I don't. And I think Pitt's problem is their offensive front. And at the end of the day, Louisville's defensive line and defense in general, but especially their defensive line, since week one, has arguably been the top four or five in this conference. I mean, look at Louisville's defensive stats, Nick. You throw out that first game against Georgia Tech, and here's the following results. 56-0. So they get 0, 14, 28 to Boston College. Oh, but by the way, that game was 35-0. So, like, can you really blame them? Because, like, backups played most of the second half. 10, and then 20 to Notre Dame, in which that defense honestly scored almost more points than the offense did. Or at least gave the offense a lot of golden opportunities.
Right.
The over-under in this game, Nick, is 46. Yeah, 46. This is going to be a 24-7, 24. I'm going to go 24-10. Like, I don't think Louisville is going to go out there and just hammer Pitt, and we're going to be like, holy crap, Louisville's legit, because it does have a sleepy spot to it. I don't think Pitt's going to be any better on offense getting rid of Dracovic. Like, you know, MJ Morris was a spark, right, for NC State. I don't think this move for Pitt is a magic spark. There isn't a, oh my gosh, the guy waiting in the wings is the guy. It's not going to be like, the only thing I worry about for Louisville is it's kind of a sleepy spot, because I think it's Pitt's homecoming, but like, I'm also going to be honest, like, Pitt's not going to fill half that stadium. So, I mean, yeah, this is – deep down inside, it hurts me, because it's hard to just fathom Pitt being bad, and with the bye week and, you know, obviously some changes made internally, maybe that means they're different. But based off what we've seen from Pitt, this is the worst team in the conference. And I wouldn't even pick Virginia in this spot to beat Louisville at home. So – and I think Virginia has shown a lot more signs of life than Pitt. So give me Louisville and to cover. Again, 24-10 is kind of the number I'm thinking in my head.
You're absolutely right about Jeff Brohm and this coaching staff, because I think a lot of people nationally are talking about it. In a podcast I was listening to today, they talked about how this guy is the difference. We talked about their transfers coming in. We talked about the easy schedule, and we talked about how they could be a dark horse in the ACC. But what we haven't talked about is how good of a coach he is. And we talked about Mike Elko. We've talked about Mike Norvell. We've talked about all these guys, Mac Brown, whatever. We have not given Jeff Brohm his flowers, and we need to, because what they did against Notre Dame was what none of us really thought could happen. Now, you were on it, and I commend you on that. Like, you sniffed that out, Micah. Home game, they were up for it. They slayed the giant that was on their schedule, and they control their own destiny. All they got left is Duke at home. On the road at Miami will be tough, and, of course, they – get Kentucky at home, which is not looking so good for Kentucky right now.
Hey, Virginia is playing them on a Thursday night, okay? Don't sleep on us now.
Hey, scary. Very, very scary. Jeff Brohm needs to be considered for – I mean, I'm sure he is, but it needs to be said right now.
He's the coach of the year if the season ended today.
Yeah, he's the front runner today. Like, yeah. I get it. Mike Elko has done a great job. He took down
Elko Clemson. Elko won it last year, right?
And yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So he's out. Norvell would be the only guy that I would be willing to have the conversation about. But at the end of the day, I guess Florida State has overperformed in that aspect. But at the same time, like, I mean, we'll see how it ends. Because if Louisville ends up losing three games, then obviously that, like, then the predictions were right, then it should be Mike Norvell. But at this point, with the fact that, you know, people are way more shocked about Louisville than Florida State. I mean, yeah, it's got to be him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I get it. Elko won it last year. They beat Clemson this year. They were in a dogfight with Notre Dame. It's been very impressive so far for Duke. But Jeff Brohm is a big part of the reason why Louisville has had such success. And I think he's doing exactly what you said. Like, sleep next week. Don't let this hype get to your head. Don't take Pitt lightly. It's still Pitt. It's still Narduzzi. It's still at Pitt, you know, on the road. That being said, I can't see Louisville losing this game. I just can't. And I probably just jinxed it right there. But they're just too well disciplined. Like, the way they came back in that NC State game, and the more I think about it, Micah, the more I think you're right. Like, they didn't give it their all on State because they were saving some for Notre Dame. And the way they fought back, the way they didn't let turnovers get to their heads, and they punched State right back in the mouth with a drive and a field goal or a drive and a touchdown, was very impressive. So give me Louisville. I think that defense is legit. They're going to cover for sure. So
I think that NC State game is the exact reason why you should think Louisville won't lose this game. Because, yeah, you like, hey, maybe Louisville doesn't cover, right? Maybe they play a bad football game and Pitt comes ready to go. Which is more hostile, Raleigh or Pitt? The answer is Raleigh. Who can, even with the whole Brennan Armstrong thing, who did we think had a better offense going into that matchup? The answer is, again, NC State, which is asinine because they haven't been great, especially concerning the situation they were running into, but Pitt's been pretty brutal. Who has the better defense? That answer is clearly NC State. I mean, and the fact that Louisville still won the football game should tell you everything. Like, that should be your confidence. Like, at the end of the day, considering the scenarios, I think it's about a 7-point difference between what Louisville, like, Louisville, NC State, Louisville at Pitt. Like, if Louisville plays the same way, I think they win by 7 more. Like, it would be 20-10 instead of 13-10, right? Congratulations, that's a cover. I mean, do I think Louisville, like, I think Louisville might be overranked. Like, right now, they make sense. They're 14 because there's a lot of teams with losses and anything like that. And I believe at this point in the year, if you're undefeated, rank them higher. But, like, do I think Louisville is the 14th best team in college football? No. But do I think Pitt's a top 75 team in college football? Hell no. So, yeah, this one is the eerily too confident in pick for me. Like, I don't like how confident I am because, again, I still haven't come around to being anti-Narduzzi, like picking against Pitt on a regular basis at home. But there's no reason this year why I shouldn't think that way. So, all right, we'll move on. We're going to cheat a little bit because I want to save the 7:30 game.
Oh, my God.
What?
The Braves just won this game. Oh, my God. They hit the Phillies just hit a ball, and I think it was Albies, or who's their center fielder? I forgot their center fielder. Made a leap at the wall, caught the ball, and Harper did not tag, and he got thrown out at first for a double play, and that ended the game.
Jeez.
Wow. I can't believe I just saw that. Okay, sorry. Continue. Let's move on.
It just makes me mad that the Phillies blew a 4-0 lead in that game. I mean, I think they might still win that series, but I just don't want the Orioles to be the only team swept. That's really all I'm trying to avoid at this point. Though I will say the Dodgers are kind of dancing around with some trouble right now too. So,
Michael Harris.
We move on.
The game of the week
for sure from a national standpoint. And we're going to go to Durham first, which, by the way, again, I want to file a complaint. Why, as a college football fan, do you want to punish college football people in the Triangle region by playing these games at the same damn time? Do you know the traffic that's going to be happening in the Triangle region around 4 o'clock on Saturday? People from the east part of the Triangle trying to go to Durham, and then the people from Durham area and the center of the state, the, you know, Greensboro and the Triad trying to get over to whether it be Durham or Chapel Hill. Like, come on. Why can't, like, why is one game not 7:30 and the other one, like, noon or even 3:30? Like, how hard could it be? But, anyways, Duke is a 3.5-point favorite over NC State. Have they even said that Riley Leonard's for sure out in this game?
I haven't heard a word yet. But I'll be honest, I haven't really been on Twitter today, so I don't know. I can look it up.
Look this up. I am too. Like, it's just weird because, like, so he's listed as day to day, according to the press conference. Said he feels positive, but will not risk his health for one game.
Yeah, I'm hearing status is unclear.
Okay,
day to day progressing, but still.
Let's do this preview two ways. If Riley Leonard does not play, Nick, how do you feel?
If Riley Leonard does not play, I feel pretty good, but I'm still like it's not at a comfortable level because I know how good that defense is, and I think State is going up against the best defense they've played so far this year. So, with Riley Leonard, he can expose guys in the run game with his legs. Because that's what he does. He doesn't really – he can beat you with his arm if he has to, but he can open up everything with his legs if everything is covered. And our secondary is pretty banged up right now. I don't feel really good about that. So with or without Riley, the defense for Duke does scare me a bit.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, Henry Bolin, who is the – true freshman, the backup for Riley Leonard. This is not a fair sample size, Nick. But you know, in his college career as a true freshman, he has a 100% completion percentage. He was 8 for 8 for 118 yards and one touchdown. Now, again, this is Lafayette we're talking about, not NC State. But everyone that I know that obviously talks Duke football knows Duke football. When he was playing that game, they've talked about how all camp, like, he looked like a legitimate, like, future piece to this Duke offense. And there were people saying that, like, not that Riley Leonard was going to lose the job because that was never what was coming out of their mouth. But there was a case that, like, this kid was pushing Riley Leonard to get better, which you don't normally see, especially at a program like Duke. Right. I don't know, Nick. Like I said it last week. I mean, I understand the offense looked impressive to a point against Marshall. I don't know if NC State – like if NC State plays the way they did last week against Marshall, Nick, you're losing to Duke, regardless of who plays.
Mm-hmm.
Because this Duke defense is better. I kind of – like – I know it was a one-game sample size, and it's maybe not fair, but Duke has pretty much all season been as physical or more physical than their opponents. I think Notre Dame was the only team that may have been more physical, but they were banging heads with them, and it was an evenly contested match.
Right.
No disrespect, Nick, but it ain't NC State's front that's been your bright side on either side of the ball. It's been your linebackers. Like, Peyton Wilson's a dog, but he can't do it all. He might have 4 sacks, but if you're not getting to this kid, whether it be Bolin or Leonard, like, because Bolin's not going to move with his legs. That's for sure. That takes away a key piece of this Duke offense. But, again, Nick, like, I hate to say this. This is – we might have under Saturday in the ACC.
Yeah, I know. Like, this game screams
like, the over-under in this one is 46.5. I think this is an under. Like, I think this is a 20-17 Duke win. Like, I think MJ Morris is going to make him. Like, and that's the thing that's crazy. I know MJ Morris has more experience than this Bolin kid, but, like, let's not pretend like MJ Morris is some seasoned vet who, you know, has had these insane games against legit defenses. Because, like, Nick, he has struggled when he's had to face good defenses. So, I mean, I think I'm intrigued. Like, there's so many intriguing parts. How much red is going to be in the crowd? You know, is NC State going to boo Brennan? Like, Nick, I know this isn't fair. You want to know who Brennan Armstrong had some of his best games in his career against?
Duke.
Like, I'm not saying you go with him here, but if MJ struggles, I'm not saying he's the worst option to go to off the bench.
Right.
This is, dude, this game has so, like, I will say, I mean, I'm pissed that, like, it's at the same time as Miami, North Carolina, but I am so glad that I'll be able to watch every moment of this game when I get off work. Because this game is going to be awesome. Like, I wish that I could somehow, magically teleport from Johnson City to Durham in under an hour for kickoff. Because that would be awesome. I mean, this game is, again, I don't know if you remember, Nick, on my road trip, this is the Duke home game I was going to.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've always been excited about this game. And, like, I mean, again, we've got quarterback intrigue because I think we have either two really young quarterbacks going head-to-head. We've got one of the best quarterbacks in the game. We have the potential of, you know, like, Nick, I know NC State fans aren't, like, huge on Brennan. And, Nick, I think you're going to appreciate this. Hopefully, I don't think she listens, so I don't think she'll care as long as no one tells her. But Savannah told me, Nick, or not told me, put in our UVA group chat we have, that NC State fans, for the most part, and Nick, I think you might agree to the statement, never actually gave Brennan a shot. Because so much of your fan base was bummed that Devin left, and then on the flip side, believed that MJ Morris was the future. Like, as soon as Brennan had any incomplete pass, it was, oh, MJ Morris wouldn't do that. I mean, we've heard it from day one. I mean, Nick, I don't remember the UConn game. Brennan Armstrong won you that football game, and fans were calling for him to be benched. Like, if Brennan Armstrong's legs didn't exist, you don't beat UConn. I firmly believe that. So, this is a situation where there's just so much intrigue. I mean, Nick, on the Cover 3 podcast today, Tom Fernelli said something that I thought was really funny. He said, NC State, Mississippi State, shut up. You're dead to me. You're irrelevant. That you guys are not legit. And you know what? He's not entirely wrong. He's like, even in the win, he said that you're one of the most mediocre 4-2 football teams. Well, here's your chance to prove it, Nick, because if you lose this game, Clemson's on deck after your bye. That's at home, but, like, if you lose this game, Nick, I don't know if a bowl game's in your future. I don't. Like, 4-3 with games against North Carolina, at Virginia Tech, at Wake Forest, Miami, Clemson, not great. Like, there's probably 3 losses on that slate. So, this is not, again, it's not must win. I think you're still within, obviously, well within reach of a bowl game at 4-3. But, I mean, at 5-2, you're pretty much locked. I don't think you're losing out the end of the season. This is a chance for MJ Morris to prove himself because, like, again, I know I sound like an MJ Morris hater, but this is going to be the best team that I think MJ Morris has faced, right? Would you agree? In his career?
100%.
So, and this might be the biggest spot because, you know, I understand that obviously Duke is high. Like, what? They're 17th. You know, this is a spot where, like, people are picking Duke. But, Nick, you're an NC State fan. Is it acceptable for NC State to lose to Duke in football?
No.
So there is some on net, like some added pressure to win this game, regardless of who the actual favorite is and where this location is. And like we've said before, Nick, like, yes, it's a Duke home game, but you cannot tell me that there won't be at least 10,000 NC State fans. Like, it might be 30,000 to 10,000, but 10,000 fans in a 40,000 seated stadium could be pretty damn loud. So it's not like you're going to be playing a true road game here. So, big spot, man. I mean, how are you feeling overall? I mean, obviously, I asked you how you felt, whether who plays, but, like, what do you think the outcome is? I'm going 2017 Duke here, but what are you feeling?
I'm feeling a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. I know how good this Duke team is. We've been hyping them up all year. Their defense is legit. I think they can stick with our wide receivers really easily. I know their front, led by Dwayne Carter, is very, very good. I don't really like the run game. Had their best game all year so far against Marshall. And I don't know if that we're going to see anywhere close to what we saw against Marshall with the run game. It's going to be tough. And what also sucks is, Micah, I want you to guess, in Dave Doran's 11-year career at NC State, how many road top 25 wins does he have on the road?
Ooh, I'm going to go with one.
Yes. He has one top 25 road win.
Can I guess who it was?
You can guess.
Because they lost that Clemson heartbreaker, so it wouldn't have been Clemson, right?
It was not Clemson.
It was this top
25, yes. On the road. On the road.
Could it have been North Carolina? I don't think so. I don't think it's North Carolina.
Good guess, but no, not North Carolina.
Wake Forest wasn't top 25 in Winston, I don't think. Anyway, that's a house of horrors for him. Could it have been Louisville?
Good guess was not Louisville.
I don't know who it is then. I'm going to stop. I don't want to waste too much time guessing here.
It was in 2020, we beat Pitt on the road. It was the Devin Leary breakout game where Pitt.
Oh. Oh, that's not even a true road game. 2020? Yeah, that shouldn't even count.
Right? That's all he has. That's all he has is a 2020 road game against Pitt. Now, while I think that game was kind of
I will say Pitt's been social distancing in their crowd since the beginning of time in Heinz Field. So I guess in his defense, true. I mean, it wasn't really that much different. But
yeah, true. Good point. So yeah, it was the Devin Leary breakout game where we were like, oh my God, this is the guy. This is it. And he's going to be our future. And then 2 weeks later, breaks his ankle against Duke. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure in this game for Dave Doran. You don't want to lose to Duke when you have been there for 11 years, and you can't lose to a first-year rival head coach. You can't. Absolutely cannot do it.
Well, it's not a first year, but you know what I mean.
Well, second. Yeah, you're right. You're right. First time playing him. First time playing him is what I meant to say. But think about this on the Duke side. How impressive would it be for Mike Elko in his first year and a half to beat Dave Clawson his first try, Dabo Swinney his first try, head to go toe-to-toe with Notre Dame, and to beat Dave Doran his first try. Like, how impressive would that be if Mike Elko did that? And he has an opportunity to redeem himself against North Carolina later on in the season. Like, that's pretty incredible if Duke pulls this out. So, I'm leaning Duke here. I think MJ's going to be tested a lot, and it's not going to be I think he'll have an okay game. I could see him making mistakes, some first or second year, whatever you want to say, mistakes for him. Eileen Duke here. I think there will be a decent state crowd for sure, but it's going to be a heavily defensive game, and I think no matter who is quarterback, State's going to have their hands full.
Yeah, and like this would be almost a look-ahead spot if Duke wasn't coming off the bye. Like, I don't think Riley Leonard plays. You want to know why I don't think he plays?
Because they got Florida State next week?
And Louisville after, yes.
Right.
Like, if I'm Mike Elko, this is a situation where, I know this is crazy to say, you're undefeated in ACC play. Currently, you are in the driver's seat. No disrespect, Nick, but NC State is not a team I'm worried about contending for Charlotte. What do you risk? give the freshman a chance. Put your tell your defense, hey, this is your game to win. Because, like, Nick, I think Duke's defense might be better than yours, considering how banged up your secondary is. That's obviously the caveat here.
Right, yeah.
So if you're Mike Elko, why don't you say, hey, defense, go win the football game. I think the offensive line is better for Duke. I think the running back group is better for Duke. I think the receiving group is better for Duke. And MJ Morris has not proven that he can go on the road and get you that big win yet. I think you take your chance. And I like what you said, Nick. Like, this is a game where it's going to be defense. It's going to be, like, yeah, this is going to be a hell of a football game. Like, I can't wait. Like, it's kind of sad this game got ACC Network. Like, the rest of the world should be able to see this. I mean, I know ACC Network's not that hard to find. It's not the Pac-12 Network or anything. Which, by the way, shout out to me being one of, like, I saved the bar that I was at on Saturday night because people were wanting to watch Colorado and they didn't have Pac-12 Network, but they had a Hulu TV. They allowed me to eat and drink for free by giving them – or, excuse me, they had a Roku TV. I gave them my Fubo login so that we could watch the Pac-12 Network. So, shout out to me for being one of, like, five people that had the Pac-12 Network. So, go me. And that was a – I should have run up the bar tab. I only had one beer, an appetizer for the table, and just an entree. So, I should have ran up the thing, but oh well. I watched them log out when the game was over, so that way, like, you know, I knew that they didn't have my login anymore. But, you know, that was interesting. But anyways, dude, this is going to be fun. Nick, if you're free Saturday night, get over to Duke, actually. That'd be kind of fun. But anyways, we digress. Last game of the week, or it's not the last game, second to last game, but last game we're going to talk about. Miami goes to North Carolina. North Carolina, 3.5-point favorite. Over under a 57. Did I say under ACC weekend? Well, this one's going over. I don't think this is going to be a defensive battle. This will be the most points of any game in the ACC this weekend, I think, by far. I mean, Syracuse supposedly has potential if Syracuse can put up some points, but I don't think it's going to happen. But, Nick, I mean, it's hard because I know it's not fair, but in my mind, when I look at this game, I pretend that both teams are undefeated.
Yeah, right?
Because I genuinely believe that Miami, like, I'm sorry, Georgia Tech fans. I know you, like, you should be happy you won this football game, but you were not the better football team. Bad coaching, mental mistakes, like, look ahead, all that happened for Miami here. And, like, the funny part is the look ahead portion happened and they still would have won the football game. They just don't do dumb shit. So, but at the, on the flip side, North Carolina played arguably their most impressive on both sides of the ball all season last week. And you mentioned it, Nick, and my buddy Hayden will tell you, if we ever need to get him on the podcast, he will tell you the house of horrors that is Keenan Stadium for the Canes. Yeah. My buddy, he goes every year, and he knows what he's signing up for. It's like
oh
me when
God,
I...
Oh, my God, does he really?
Oh, yeah, because he lives, I mean, he's from, you know, Robbins, North Carolina, so he's only from about an hour and a half away. So he goes every year when they're there. And, you know, like, he, I don't think he's missed that game ever since he's been, like, you know, alive, obviously, and that's been an ACC thing, in Chapel Hill, at least. You know, he knows the house of horrors that is Keenan Stadium. He knows that whether Miami's the better team or not, shit never goes their way there. And, like, half the time, it's heartbreaking losses. You think about, like, I think it was 2 years ago, right? Last play of the game? Maybe yeah. It was 4 years ago now. But, I mean, I think North, like, what's going to suck, Nick, is when Miami loses this game, Miami's going to fall the top 25. Everyone's going to say that Miami is overrated and they're not that good and all this stuff. And while, obviously, I don't think they're a top 15 team in college football, like, in my brain, I'm going to view them, especially if they play this game competitively, as a 5-1 team that should be getting a lot more respect. Because at the end of the day, that Georgia Tech game, that's an anomaly. But, I mean, the better coach in game is Mack Brown. The more talented team, maybe is North Carolina, like all around. I mean, Miami might actually be the more talented team from top to bottom. But, I mean, this North Carolina defense has been playing incredibly well. I like the secondary. Shout out my guy, Elijah Huzzy. And, I mean, Drake May is just a dog. And, like, I don't think Tyler Van Dyke can go blow for blow with Drake May. Like, the only thing that has me even questioning this, Nick, is the fact that you cannot tell me that Miami's not going to come out, like, firingly pissed off. Like, I guarantee you that every Miami player is going to imagine Drake May as Mario Cristobal's face. And they're going to try to pummel him into the ground for going for two, going for the instead of taking a knee. I mean, but that I'm not gonna fall for it. I'm not gonna talk myself out of this. North Carolina's winning this game. I think they're gonna drop 38 points. I'm gonna go 38-31. I mean, I think Miami's gonna hang in there. It might be one of those 38-24 Miami scores with a minute left, has the onside kick, doesn't recover, and kneels down to end the game. But I mean, this is, again, we don't have a bad game all weekend. The worst game might be Syracuse, Florida State. But even that game has some intrigue to me from a standpoint of, obviously, we're talking about the playoff caliber team and a Syracuse team who, 2 weeks ago was, 18th in the country, 20th in the country, whatever it was. So, it's crazy.
Yeah, this game, if I'm North Carolina, I'm actually pretty scared about this. You're getting a very pissed off Miami team coming to town that wants to take your spot, that thinks they should be in your spot right now, and they're not because of a stupid mistake. So, and I've been preaching it, like you said, all year. Miami does not do well up in Chapel Hill. They just do not. I remember, who were we talking about? I tweeted something out from our account that said Duke is like firmly, or it's Florida State and Miami, who would be the third team, somewhere along the lines of that. And they said, with Miami beating A&M, or someone replied, with Miami being A&M, are they the for sure front runners to be that number two spot? I said, no. Like, they still have to go to Chapel Hill and they struggle. Like, they still, at the time, I said, they still got to go to Raleigh, and that's not a fun place to play either. But we don't need to talk about that right now.
They got to go to Boston College when it's 25 degrees out on Thanksgiving week on Black Friday. I mean,
yeah, exactly. So, but you're getting a very pissed off Miami team, and I just really hope for UNC's sake they don't sleep. Like, I hope they didn't pull out all the stops against Syracuse, and they saved some for this Miami team who's going to be pissed off coming in. Now, you would, as a Miami fan, you would hope that your team is pissed off and that this is a change, because we've seen Miami teams give up after a loss. We've seen that in the past. It's now, while I think Mario Cristobal has fixed that and they look better than that, it still can happen. It's still Miami. Like, we still saw the Miami stupid loss that they shouldn't have lost. So you better hope that if you're a Miami fan, they don't fold just because they have one loss that they shouldn't have lost. So we'll see. I'm leaning North Carolina in this one just because I think the trend will continue that Chapel Hill always shows up for this game. It used to be like the highlighted game of the year in the Coastal Division when that was still a thing. So give me the Heels. I think they continue to ride with this. And Drake May, I got to give more flowers to him, because Drake May has looked really, really good the last few weeks. He's been talked about a little bit more. While I don't think he is back in the Heisman conversation, if he continues to have games like he did against Syracuse, three or four touchdowns, over 300 yards, he's firmly back in it. There's still a ton of meat left on this bone for him to put his name in New York. So we'll see what happens. But if Drake can continue to what he looks like, then Miami's in a heap of trouble.
Yeah. And what I want is UNC to beat Miami by 35. They come in cocky on the CW next weekend when those feisty Virginia Cavaliers come to town. They got Georgia Tech next week on the road, so they're like, oh, we can't sleep on the Yellow Jackets, and they fall asleep on the Hoos. But I keep thinking of all these scenarios where Virginia like upsets an undefeated ACC team, and I probably should stop because all I'm doing is getting myself excited for an absolute major letdown when it really shouldn't be a letdown. But anyways, yeah, I'm going to do – I mean, whew. Again, is it the greatest slate of ACC games? Absolutely not, but I mean –
there's it's going to be a fun one, I think.
There's a reason to tune into every single game. And, you know, we've said that before, but, I mean, again, this is, like, legitimate things. I mean, every game has some sort of intrigue. Every game, like, has reasons to be excited. So I can't wait for that. Nick, the last thing I think we should talk about before we go is – what is your thoughts on the scenario? I don't think it's going to happen. Where we have three teams that go 8-0. Because, Nick, on our last podcast yesterday, yesterday on the podcast, you were like, oh, look how much better this is without divisions. And this scenario, if this happens, Nick, this is where I hate that we don't have divisions. I hate that you aren't guaranteed to have, you know, only two undefeated teams. Because, like, I mean, Nick, can you imagine a world where North Carolina, Florida State, and Louisville are all 12-0. Like, I mean, do we even know what this, like, tiebreaker is there?
I mean, find it. It's crazy because it just so happens none of them play each other.
Yeah.
That's so – that's really the first year without divisions, and our top three teams right now do not play each other. That's the most ACC thing in the world to happen. Like, hey, I think we fixed this problem. No divisions, but your three top teams, yeah, they're not going to play each other. So there's a potential three-way tie that we have to figure out that's going to make no sense. So I'm not sure what that tiebreaker is.
I'm reading it right now.
And that's what I figured you would.
And in the scenario, if every team is 12-0, I'm currently on number 5 of the steps. I'll read off the steps to you, Nick. Obviously, yeah. The first one is head-to-head competition. So, obviously, like, in this scenario, if it's a one-loss team and that one loss is to each other, yada, yada. But, obviously, that's out the window here. The next is winning percentage against all common opponents. Well, obviously, they would all have the same winning percentage because they're all undefeated. Third would be, moving down the ladder again, win percentage against common opponents with the added caveat of order of finish in the conference. So basically the highest seeded common opponents and moving downwards. So like if you each have one loss and like your loss is to the fourth best team or the next one is to the sixth best team, obviously then you get in before the team that lost the sixth best team. But again, there are no losses here. So that is not a concern. The next one would be to factor in combined winning percentage of a team's conference opponents with the team who faced the better opponents gaining the advantage. Well, guess what? They all played the same teams. The only thing that would be the difference would be, hold on, the fourth step is a factor in the combined winning percentage. Conference opponent with the team who faced the better opponents gaining the advantage. So I'm guessing if I'm reading that correctly, then it would come down to who you played in the conference's winning percentage in the conference. Which then I guess in that case probably screws Louisville, right? I mean, if we're just assuming, again, I'm not deep diving predicting everything, but I would just assume that Florida State and Miami's win percentage is like of their opponents is going to be higher because it's because their schedule's been tougher, right? Like that would kind of check out.
Yeah.
So that means undefeated Louisville. But see, the problem with this, Nick, is the ACC is not getting two teams into the playoff. So is a 12-0 team getting left out of the playoff?
God.
Think about it. Think about it for a long, hard second here. I hate to say it, Louisville. I'm not trying to insult you. Your 12-0 record, let's say Ohio State is 12-1 as the Big Ten champion. They're getting in over you. They are. Because your common opponent and common win of Notre Dame, like, it kind of cancels out. Michigan at 12-1 probably gets in over you. Maybe they don't. But I'd say they still have a lot better wins than you do. A 12-1.
So far, no. So far, Michigan's schedule's ass.
Man, I mean,
it's Louisville's pretty freaking bad right now.
I mean, Louisville's is pretty bad too, though.
I mean, Michigan has played Rutgers, Minnesota, Nebraska.
Yeah, but again, we're talking about the scenario of these teams going 12-1 or 12-0. That would have a win over at least Ohio State or Penn State. That would also include wins over Purdue and Indiana, who, by the way, you know, or at least Louisville didn't play Purdue, but Indiana is obviously a common opponent. I mean, no disrespect to Murray State, but so, again, sure. But again, it's also, dude, I mean, you know how it works. I mean, the Michigan was preseason number, like, number three or whatever. They're going to give – it's going to lean to them. They're going to say eye test, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you're probably running into that scenario. If you have an undefeated or one-loss SEC champion, they're probably in, right? Pac-12, yeah. Same thing. Big 12, same thing. Like, Louisville's saving grace here would have to be a two-loss runner-up. And, like, you know, basically Georgia goes undefeated, wins the SEC. That means Alabama, whoever, has at least two losses in the SEC. Then you need, you know, a Pac-12 to eat itself up and have two-loss champion. You need the Big 12 to hope to God that, you know, Oklahoma loses a game or maybe two and then beats Texas again, or – obviously, it's a one-loss – but even then, probably one-loss Texas gets in over if they win the conference championship. They would probably have revenged their loss to Oklahoma, probably get in over Louisville. Like, there's a scenario where the ACC is going to, like – I mean, I don't know how that would work, Nick, because, like, we already had, you know, the complaint of the national champion of UCF going undefeated and not, you know, obviously getting a shot at the playoff. Could you imagine a Power 5 team not getting that shot?
Oh, yeah.
Like, could you imagine how, like, the ACC gave us seven straight division champions in 7 years. We never got the full coastal chaos of 4-4-4. But could you imagine if the ACC is the first conference where three teams go undefeated the entire season? Like, could you imagine that?
Like,
yeah, it's not going to happen, but holy shit. I mean, nuts.
Like, Micah, correct me if I'm wrong. As long as you and I have done this, we're in our third season doing this, we haven't talked this many ACC teams potentially making the playoff this late in the season.
Oh, hell no. We've only had one.
Like, we're going into week 7, and there are three teams still undefeated and four teams still undefeated in conference.
Yeah.
That's pretty nuts. Yeah, and, like, yeah. If you're Louisville, you got to hope that, like, I would doubt that the committee would leave off an ACC champ Louisville team over one loss.
No, like, but they wouldn't be an ACC champ because they wouldn't play in the damn championship. That's the point.
Right, right.
They would be 12-0. Yeah. You'd have a 13-0, let's say, Florida State. It's like there would be a legitimate argument, Nick. Like, let's say in this scenario this is happening, right? I'm just going to assume based off the rankings, based off how they currently sit and what's coming down the pipeline. If going into the first weekend of December for the conference championship games, Louisville would be the third highest ranked ACC team. What if North Carolina plays Florida State to a barn burner? Is North Carolina going to fall behind Louisville who didn't play that week?
Yeah, see, that's like so unfair to North Carolina.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a legit case that, like, Louisville, like, North Carolina could have more of an argument than Louisville. Because North Carolina would have, like, the only saving grace for Louisville would be that Kentucky is still ranked at the end of the season. And that Louisville can smack them around and be like, well, look at that. Look at what we did. Because then the North Carolina win over South Carolina could kind of get, like, washed out, right? Like, it kind of cancels out and leans Louisville's favor at that point.
Right.
I mean, dude... Again, is it a good problem to have? Absolutely. I mean, I would love to see what would happen. But, like, I mean, my head hurts just thinking about it.
But, see, Micah, with divisions, like, who goes in for the Atlantic? Oh, I guess we would
they
have
would Louisville play each State other.
Play each other. That's right, yeah.
I mean, I hate to be that asshole, but if Louisville is in the Atlantic, they're probably going 10-2. They're going to lose to Clemson or NC State or somebody, right? Like,
right,
I mean, obviously
right.
they beat NC State, but like, that. Like that's the thing. You don't have that possibility.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it's funny because, like, again, this might change, and it probably will, because obviously with us adding three new teams, the pairings that we've always had are probably going to change a little bit. They're going to have to figure out a new structure somehow. But, like, if let's say, again, in the world where SMU, Cal, and Stanford aren't joining next year, you know what Louisville's schedule features next year? Clemson, Florida State, North Carolina. Like, gosh damn.
Yeah.
Nuts. So.
It's like Duke from last year into this year.
Yeah. Like, holy crap. So, you know, again, like it's crazy to think about, but. I mean, again, am I cheering for it? Absolutely. That would be amazing. But I don't really think it's a real possibility, but because at least one of those two teams, you know, is going to lose to Virginia, clearly. So go Hoos. But
let me ask you a question real quick. Of the three teams that are undefeated right now, who do you see getting their first loss first?
Who loses first? I might say North Carolina just because their schedule's tougher. Like, I think there's a better chance that North Carolina runs the table than Louisville. But you look at the, like, hold on. That's the thing that's nuts is, like, Louisville obviously has a game tonight. Like, so in the next 3 weeks, right, like, there's a – because I'm going to say that there's a chance, a good chance that someone loses in the next 3 weeks of the undefeated. The next 3 week schedule for Louisville – is Pitt this weekend on the road, bye week, Duke at home. Off a bye.
Yeah.
North Carolina is Miami this week at home, Virginia at home, at Georgia Tech. That's obviously way more difficult than what Louisville has, and obviously one more game.
Right.
Like, I would argue that playing Virginia at home in the spot that North Carolina is playing them, as we've currently seen it, is more difficult than playing Pitt on the road this week like Louisville is. The only thing is, again, I guess the look ahead, the sleepy spot of obviously just playing Notre Dame. But so you got that. Or North Carolina, who obviously has Miami. Or actually, not North Carolina. I'm going to play the other one. Oh, Florida State, excuse me. Florida State obviously would have, in this scenario, this week, Syracuse at home. Duke next week at home. And then at Wake, like, again, that is a tougher, like, honestly, Louisville's, like, next 3 weeks is the easiest to go undefeated in. And it's honestly not even particularly close, in my opinion.
Right.
So, I'm going to say North Carolina because I think you just rank them. You know, you obviously, you know the history of North Carolina and Georgia Tech has not been favorable for the Heels. You know, Virginia has had a tendency to play North Carolina well, no matter where, when, why, or how. And again, considering the spot of that perfect sandwich off a bye two for the Hoos. And then obviously, of course, I mean, Miami is the most difficult opponent of the three teams that are undefeated that have in those 3 weeks. So I think I'm just going to say North Carolina, but that's the thing. Like, again, there's a very realistic chance that these guys are also all undefeated after 3 weeks. And obviously, you still got North Carolina, Duke on the docket. You've got Florida State. Duke's got Louisville, obviously. You've got Florida State, you know, going to Florida, I think, to end the year. Maybe hosting them. I don't really remember which one. But, like, obviously, Louisville's got Kentucky. So, dude, I don't know, man. It's going to be fun, though. I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait either.
But, Nick, that's all I've got. I'm kind of ready to wrap it up. It's the perfect – so today, Nick, I knew I was going to have to get a filling. I had my first filling ever, Nick. I've always had perfect teeth, and I guess you hit 27 and shit goes downhill for you. But I got my first filling today. Hurt like hell. Wasn't supposed to be today. I was supposed to be next week, but they called me an hour before. Hey, an appointment opened up today. You want to do it today? And I'm like, yeah, let's get this shit over with. So, anyways, I had my first filling today, so my face – right side of my face hurts pretty bad. But also, Nick, I've been walking in shorts, a very thin hoodie, and then a beanie cap because it's that time of the year where it's 55 degrees where It's too warm to go full, like, fall, winter weather clothes. But it's also too cold for me to probably be wearing shorts and a thin hoodie.
Right.
So I got the beanie hat on to prevent the head cold. Like, so anyways, I'm ready to wrap this up because I've got a day tomorrow in Boone. Bring apps, like, screw SMU and Cal and them. Bring App State to the ACC, please. Gosh dang.
Yeah, but, I know, for real.
But anyways, what do you, anything else you want to add, Nick, before we go?
Yeah, just like a little thing on Twitter that I just, like, I don't know, I kind of noticed today. Nothing to do really with the ACC, but just like I noticed it from our accounts. I think on Twitter, if someone bookmarks your tweet, you should see who bookmarked it. Like, I'm just seeing it from our power rankings, Micah. Like, three people bookmarked my power rankings. I just, like, want to know why. And, like, did I upset someone? Is someone going to get back at me? Like, did I rank someone too low for someone? And my other thing is, regardless if you're private, I should be able to see if you quote tweeted me or not. Like, that's my tweet. You obviously said something about it. Regardless if you're private, I want to see what you said about my quote tweet. So
that's, no, that's fair. I respect that.
Yeah. So that's basically it. Cause I noticed on my fifth quarter Wolfpack page that I get quote tweeted a lot. And every time I want to see what they say, they're private. And it's like, yeah, come on, I should be able to see what you said.
So no, that's 100% reasonable. I can't believe I didn't get blasted by Clemson fans for having Miami above Clemson. I was genuinely shocked by that. But but yeah, Nick, that's all I got. Excited. I mean, can't believe it's already, you know, that's the best part of this time of the year is the fact that, like, tomorrow is Tuesday and I'm going to be at a college football game. I get to be so amped. It's like, sweet. College football starts again tomorrow. I mean, Nick, not that you care, but I'm not even going to the best college football game on TV tomorrow. Everyone should tune in to Jacksonville State and Liberty, the ass-kicking chickens versus the Baptists, as it's been proclaimed on social media. Nick, I don't know if you saw Jacksonville State's helmets. They're going white out. The uniforms itself kind of suck, but their helmets have this, like, angry-looking rooster thing on it. And it literally says on the bumper of the helmet, AKC, which stands for Ass Kicking Chicken.
So, I love it.
Shout out to Jack State. Big fan of them. Didn't appreciate them kicking ETSU's ass, but other than that, big fan of them. But can't wait, Nick. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be a fun week of ACC football. Nick, I really, really need some Diolis in my life. So you should come to Boone tomorrow, you know, free ticket, bring me some pumpkin pie, you know what I'm saying? Maybe a chicken parm. I mean, Nick, you know, if you do that for me, I mean, you know, I owe you ones, you know, I'm just saying, you didn't bring me anything for the UVA NC State game. So just saying, even if it's not to come to the game, I mean, just a delivery, you know, I'm just saying.
God, very
just tough. Saying. But anyways, Nick, as always, it means just a little bit less here in ACC country. And go ACC. Well, go ACC.